certainly good to be here with you today. Glad to see all those present. It's been a beautiful day. Good to meet out here to worship once again. So Vicki mentioned the song of invitation this morning being number 614. If there's any here today, has rendered obedience to the gospel, or those that have and straight away or need things right. To be able to throw the all in this prayer together, to make God a judge, and we encourage you to do that this day, and this will be an extra opportunity, well, not the only opportunity to have to do that. We'd like to look at a lesson, if you may have noticed from my outline this morning, entitled, What Type of Pattern Are You Seeing? And this comes from a passage in Titus, chapter 2 and verse 7, which states, In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. As I thought about this lesson, I'm a big Andy Griffith fan. I like to watch those old reruns, and you know, you can always get a good lesson out of watching those. Many of you may have watched them too. I remember one particular episode where Andy kind of had to get on the Opie about kind of stretching the truth a little bit. Opie was going to trade some licorice seeds to another little boy for a cat pistol or something. I can't remember exactly how it was. And Andy kind of got on him a little bit. He said, you know, that's not right. And he kind of brought in the golden rule. You wouldn't want somebody doing you that way and everything. And Opie said, you know, okay, and everything. Well, in the same episode, Andy got appointed to try to get rid of this old cannon they had that had been sitting out in front of the courthouse or somewhere. They couldn't get anybody to take it, and they wanted to try to sell it or whatever, and he wasn't having any luck at all. So Andy started kind of building the story up a little bit, like that this cannon might have been used in some famous battles, and that TG element, this might have stood for Teddy Roosevelt or whatever, TR, wherever it was. I forgot what the initials was. Didn't say exactly, but he stretched the truth a little bit and kind of got some of these antique folks interested in it and everything. So, anyway, finally he kind of caught up with him with Opie because he told him, he said, well, you know, after he did that, Opie went back and made another trade where he traded a cufflink he said that was worn by George Washington for an ice cream cone and something else. And anyway, so he learned how to say it. He did it kind of spice up the story a little bit. And so finally, Andy realized he was setting a pattern for his son. You know, and he realized, you know, as we do as adults sometimes, when we try to sell something or we try to do something, we don't really look at that as lying sometimes. Maybe we want to say we're just kind of making it sound a little better or whatever. But you know what? The child saw that. Well, that's the same thing. That's the same thing as me selling licorice seeds to somebody. And that's the same thing as somebody selling somebody a cufflink that was worn by George Washington, because neither one of those things are true, and the things you're telling about this cannon is not true. When we think about a pattern, it's a little bit different than an example. You know, we might have one example we might show to our kids, or somebody else might show to us, but a pattern, I think, is a little bit more. It's a series of examples. And that's kind of the thing we want to look at today is our life. What kind of pattern are we setting in our life? Because whether you want to admit it or not, you are an example to someone. You may not be a good example, or you may be a great example, but you're some kind of example. You're setting a pattern for someone. It may be your parents or grandparents. It may be your children or grandchildren. It may be brothers and sisters. It may be somebody you go to school with. It may be your students or your co-workers, it may be your boss, it may be your employee. But you're setting an example. And you're being a pattern for someone. So what type of pattern are you setting? And we're going to look at several different examples of different types of patterns this morning. And the first type of pattern we'd like to look at is, are we setting a pattern of honesty? Let's look in the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. The Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He talks about here, renounce the hidden things of dishonesty by putting those things behind us. And you know, if we think about honesty, you know, we have to be very careful about that again. We're setting an example. We have to be careful of simple things. What about when the telemarketer calls and the child answers the phone? Just tell them I'm not here. Well, we don't want to talk to a telemarketer, but you know what? We set an example there to our children. Oh, it's okay to lie in certain circumstances. Maybe they call from the plant and want you to come in and work some overtime after the ball game just started. I tell you why. Just tell them I'm not here. Tell them I'm going fishing. You know, but you know, we're setting an example. It might be the children's not there then, but you know, we're setting an example. Or we're setting a pattern there for our wife or whatever. Well, you know, if your life doesn't work, will you lie to me? You know, we can't say, well, you know, that's just a little flat lie. Well, that's not like, you know, a big lie, you know, that I lied in some kind of court case or something. But, you know, we're still setting that pattern. Let's look on another passage in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. We see Jesus. It's a very simple scripture here. And he said, as you would that men do to you, do you also to them likewise. You know, this is where the basis of the golden rule comes from. Not only do people do good to you, then do good to them, but treat other people the way you would like to be treated. Even if they never treat you that way, you treat other people the way you would like to be treated. To be honest with people. To provide things honest. To treat people fairly. You know, we can think of several examples that we could use of this and being, you know, honest with people. You know, we can be honest with people without being harsh. We know about people who have never obeyed the gospel. You know, they need to do so. But, you know, I mean, that's an honest approach we need to have with that. But think about approaching those people in the way that we would like to be approached. Think about, in a lot of different circumstances, of even our family, our friends, people at work with, and so forth, even if they've done something wrong, we have to tell them that. What's the way that we tell them that? Not only after they've been good to us, to be good back to them, but to treat them in the way that we would like to be treated. Setting a pattern there. You know, we think a lot about setting that pattern for our children, but you know, we set that pattern for all those in our lives. Friends, neighbors, people in the community, and so forth. Even those that we're in church with. We set a pattern there. Are we setting a pattern of hypocrisy? Let's look at a passage in Romans chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22. Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. And art confident that thou art thyself a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. And thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself, that thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Be a hypocrite. People will see through that in a minute. You know, we think about that, about, you know, fixing to be tax time. None of us like to pay taxes, but you know, the Bible says that we're to pay taxes. Even Jesus, they came and asked him about it. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God. But you know, what about the cheat on the income tax? You know, we do that, and somebody sees, you know, the husband and wife discussing that, and then the child hears that. Next thing you know, you get a note from school, your child's cheating on the test. Well, where'd you ever get the idea of that for? What are we going to do when we say, well, you know, I heard your mom and daddy talking about cheating on the income tax, and I thought it'd be all right. What can we say then? Or what if we never notice, I guess, and they start doing some other kind of illegal activity, and one day, you know, they get in big trouble about it. But, you know, they saw that pattern within us. You know, you think kids don't see, you think people in the community don't see, and all the people know about things that we do, and they find out about it. And they see that hypocrisy. We're going to talk about that a little bit in more detail in a moment about preaching. You know, you might do all the good you can do as a Christian for 65 years on this year, earth, but in the 66th year, you do something wrong as a Christian, and they're going to talk about it for the next 65 years. People are looking for Christians to mess up. But you know, there's people that look up to us. And I said, man, this be our children. It may be our family members and co-workers and so forth. But people see through hypocrisy. Let's look at another passage in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Again, the words of Jesus here. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. And you know, a lot of people want to use this passage to talk about, it's the first part of this passage that talks about not judging. People want to use this passage to say, well, you know, you should never judge anyone. The whole intention of this passage is, the fact is, that we need to clear up the sin in our life, number one, so we can see it clearly to help someone else, but also that we will be the proper example, that we'll be setting forth the proper pattern. And then people won't see us as a hypocrite. You know, we go and talk to somebody about their sin, and the first thing they do, they say, you're doing something 10 times worse. How can we talk to them about that? Well, how about, you know, we're not perfect, but, you know, we can't have obvious sin in our life and try to convince somebody else of their sin. It just don't work. And like I said, even a little child will see through that. You tell them not to say certain words or something, and then you say them, that child is 2 or 3 years old. They'll call you on it. Maybe it was the way you were using that word. Maybe it wasn't even, you weren't even using it in a derogatory manner. They're going to call you on it. And they're going to see it. They'll see that through. Even a little child will. But you know, others around us will as well. Are we setting a pattern of hypocrisy? We have to be careful that we don't. Next, we'd like to look at, are we setting a pattern of taking pleasure in the sin of others? And this is something I think we have to be very careful of, especially as Christians, that we don't set a pattern of taking pleasure in the sins of others. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32. Romans chapter 1, begin with verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And we know there's some bad things in there, you know, certain murder and so forth, things that we wouldn't want to be associated with, but there's some things that we might be associated with. Things like disobedience to parents. Whisperers, backbiters. But notice carefully what it says in the last part of verse 32. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that vision. You know, there might be some of those things that we wouldn't maybe have a part of, but we take pleasure in the sin of others. We have to be very careful about what about when we laugh at someone else's dirty joke? We didn't tell the dirty joke, but we laughed at it, that we partake of it. What about when we watch movies with inappropriate behavior? Things in that movie that we wouldn't think of doing ourselves. So we're going to sit there and watch it with our child in the room and expect them not to see through, again, the hypocrisy of us, but also that us taking pleasure in the sin of us. We're setting a pattern there, and we have to be careful of that pattern. We can't just say do the right thing. We've got to do the right thing. We've got to set forth that pattern for our children and for everyone around us as well. Next, we'd like to look, are we setting a pattern that cannot be condemned? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. This is what we were talking about a little bit earlier about those in the church. When you do something right, most of the time nobody's going to say anything about it. It's not going to be in the newspaper. It's not going to be on the gossip column. It's not going to be what everybody's talking about down at the store. If you're known in the community as a Christian, you're known as a member of the Church of Christ, you're known as a member here at Mount Carmel, you let me do something, and my name goes out on the scanner on Saturday night, they're going to talk about it for years. You'll lose your credibility. You might say, well, you were speaking in the church, but you know, it doesn't matter whether or not you speak in the church or whether you're a member. We're all equal members in the church. You will discredit Christ Church, the Mount Carmel congregation, and people will say, just because one person did something, they'll say, all those people over there like that. I knew they were a bunch of hypocrites. You know, I always thought they were, but this just proves it. We have to be careful of those things. But on the other hand, on the positive side of this, notice what it says, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's where people who say, well, I'm not going to church down there, they're all just a bunch of hypocrites anyway. But with our well-doing, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By doing good, you don't give them anything to talk about. Let's look at another passage that says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 3. Beginning with verse 14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Are you setting a pattern that cannot be condemned? You know, there's some good things in these passages here. When people say bad things about us, if they don't have any basis for it, we don't need to worry about it. What we need to do is worry about how we're living our life before God. And if they're persecuting us because we're a Christian and because we're trying to do the right thing, that must mean we're doing the right thing. But it says that we shouldn't be troubled if they're attacking us falsely. We just don't need to give them anything to work with. It talks about in verse 15, though, that we need to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to study our Bible. We need to be showing a pattern of those that study their Bible, that understand the Word of God, that understand why we worship as we do here, that it wasn't just because that's where my granddaddy did it, because that's what the Bible says. That there's a pattern there, that there's a foundation there. And having a good conscience, which it talks about in verse 16. Why do we have that good conscience? Because we've done the Word of God. We've done those things. We've studied them. We understand what the Word of God says. And we're living our life that way the best we can. And then it talks about verse 16 that when they speak evil of you as evildoers, then when they try to condemn what you're doing and the life that you live as a Christian, they may be ashamed. Falsely accuse what? Your good conversation. Because then, if you live as a Christian for 65 years and you don't have anything there, when people go, well, you know, he's always a hypocrite and he's always talking ugly all the time, somebody else will say, no, I've known him for 65 years and I've never heard anything like that come out of him. They're put to silence. So, when did you hear him say that? Well, I don't remember. Maybe it wasn't him. I guess it was. Rather than, yes, it was last Saturday at the ball game at 2:00 in the afternoon, and on row 14, seat 12. Don't give them anything to work with. Put the silence. Don't give them any ammunition. And verse 17 says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil doing. You know, we may still say some kind of persecution, but it's a lot better for that persecution to be because we were doing the right thing rather than the wrong thing. A pattern that cannot be condemned. That is so important for the church because, like I said, people are looking towards those that are members of the church and waiting for us to step out of line so that, again, they can label us as hypocrites and they can go, well, see, that's why I don't get up on Sunday morning and go to church down there. It's because one or two people did something that's just why the whole church is a bunch of hypocrites. That's why we need to set forth that proper pattern. A pattern that cannot be condemned. Next, we'd like to look at, as we talked about at the beginning of our lesson, are we setting forth a pattern of good works? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. I think this is the passage that they used in than we'd have when they had their weekend meeting a while back. They did a whole weekend meeting on these four verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 12, says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, doctrine, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. This is Paul speaking to Paul here. Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them to hear this. That's the kind of pattern that we want to set forth, a pattern of good works. Like I said, we know it's important we set forth that pattern to our children, our grandchildren, and so forth, but to everyone around, the people we work with, to the people that are our neighbors, our family, about the outside the church, to those in the community, those we go to school with, set forth that pattern of good works. And just because we're young people, that they might not have something bad to say. You know, people say, well, our youth today are all bad. Well, that's not true. It says, be thou an example of the believer. In word, conversation, charity or love, and spirit, faith, and purity. That's what kind of example. And not just a single example, as we're talking about here, but a pattern. They see our lives. They see what kind of life we live day after day after day, week after week after week, and year after year after year. And we set forth that pattern of good works. And we want to set forth that pattern again for our children and for our grandchildren, because they're going to see through it if we don't live that life. They're going to see through. And also in our text verse, we'd like to go back to Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. We read verse 7 at the beginning. We'd like to begin it at the beginning of the chapter in Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the pattern of good works that we want to put forth. To live in our lives, to show to our children that we're going to live for God, that we're going to live as a Christian, that we're going to do what the Bible says to do. We don't care what the world says. We're going to show that in our lives. And again, we got to show that to our children, not by telling them. I have to tell them, say, don't do like I do like I say. You know, that doesn't work. We have to live by example, but also a string of examples that puts forth a pattern. People can see that Christian life living with us, within us. And lastly, we'd like to look at one more passage in Luke chapter 15. If we think about what type of pattern are we setting, a pattern of repentance? Because our family members, those in the community, but they see that when we do mess up, that we're willing to say that I did wrong. We're willing to repent. If we've never obeyed the gospel, that we're willing to repent and to turn around our lives and to do the right thing. You know, people think a whole lot more of a person who admits that they're wrong, that says I did the wrong thing, and they try to change their life and they do a hypocrite, that people can see right through them and say, we know, everybody knows you're not doing the right thing, but you won't admit it. And God's the same way too. He won't accept us. If we just say we're doing the right thing, he accepts us when we admit that we're doing the wrong thing and we're willing to change that in our life. So look at Luke chapter 15, begin with verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured and said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with him. And he was speaking here with Jesus. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, is not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And let us skip to what it says in verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And you know, we don't need to worry about what anybody on this earth is going to think about us for repenting of our sin. You know, there are people that may look down on us, but those are the people that don't matter. The people that do matter are going to be thankful for you, and they're going to love you for it. And if there's joy in the presence of the angels in heaven over something you do, I would worry about what anybody on this earth thought about it. But we show forth that pattern of repentance. People will see it in our lives. They'll see that we're willing to realize that we did something wrong, and we're willing to make it right. And that'll go a whole lot further than it will for us to just try to admit that, well, I never did anything wrong. Or I'm living my life the way I should. If you're here today and you've never become a Christian, you can do so this day. If you heard the Word of God today, if you believe it with all your heart, if you're willing to repent of your sin, if you're willing to state before this audience that you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not to state all your sins, but just your public belief in Jesus Christ. You can be buried today in baptism and rise to walk in newness of life. And if you have done those things, and if you're straight away, and you can be forgiven also if you only repent. If you're in here today, if you humble yourself to come forth and do those things, and you'll start a pattern of a positive life so we can live for God. If you're in here today to accept the gospel in any way, we'll ask you to come, I'll stand among the saints, and I'll be in the text.